Okay. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Paul.
Good having you here. Thanks for joining me and all those who are listening in. I want to have you share with me a few things about you and your relationship with MKP and your life in general. So we'll start there and see where we go. You know, as I've shared with you and others who are listening, that the intention here is that that men will get to know you, where you are, what you're doing in the project, how this work for you has changed your life, and how we can get connected together in a deeper way. That's certainly part of what this is about. So again, thanks for joining me. Let's start with the weekend. When did you do the weekend?
Yeah, I did the weekend in September of 2007, Camp Pottawatomie in the Chicago area.
So you're a Chicago guy, and
I'm a native son of Indiana, fourth generation out of Batesville, Indiana, and I've lived here in Chicago for almost 25 years, and it is certainly home to me. And 12 years in the Mankind Project, I am definitely a Chicago guy.
we talked about that, and not just MKP. I've seen your cubby hat and shirt often in the times we've been together, wherever it's been, at a face-to-face or on a call, a Zoom call of some sort or another. You're a major baseball fan, and I like that because those of us who are baseball fans, there are not a lot of us anymore. Everybody seems to think football's it, but baseball's cool. So
Go
anyways,
Cubs.
yeah, go Cubs. So all right, so tell me about the weekend. What got you there? Were you just curious, or was there some event? How did you end up getting there?
I'm really pleased to just participate with you around this question. It's amazing to me the number of men that I've done extensive work with during the project who still don't know what brought me to the project. And for me, it was an utter breakdown in the fabric of my life that I had no reason to anticipate and did not have the resources to deal with. 2 years before I did the weekend in 2000, and five, the 14th anniversary of this loss was, or actually in 2004, the 15th anniversary of this loss was just on September 13th. My second child was stillborn, and there were 20 minutes when I didn't know if my wife was going to live or die. And I remember that time in some ways very vividly, and a lot of it is lost to the fog of grief and crisis management. But I really put the family on my shoulders, the physical and emotional recovery for my wife, who's also the breadwinner in our family, and raising our 3-year-old daughter, was a burden that I eagerly took on and carried the best that I could. And I'm proud of the way that we held it together through that time. 2 years later, 2 days before that anniversary, my wife was pregnant again and had a late term miscarriage.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, it became immediately clear that the hole in me that I felt where our son would be, was never going to be filled by a child that Evelyn and I made together.
So that put you
And
against the wall, it sounds like.
at that point, as somebody who's been well loved by every person that really mattered in my life, I just didn't know what to do with what was happening. That tenuous hold that I'd cobbled together. I was really honestly left with anger and grief, some of which I didn't agree with. And I didn't know what to do with that part of me that I didn't want to acknowledge or to have. But I did have a wisdom that burbled up from somewhere deep inside that said, do everything you can and say yes. So I found a therapist to a friend who'd experienced a similar loss I had. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go see him. And when he, after some work together, recommended the NWTA, I said, sure, I'm going to go. And, so that process began in 2006. I did the weekend September 2007. And what I got was a safe place for the ugly parts of me that I learned weren't so ugly and just needed somewhere safe to come out. The power of that container and of the healing that I got, it changed my life forever. I tried on occasion to imagine the outlines of my life if I had not gotten that healing.
Mm-hmm. So you said a couple of things. One was that you found the NWTA, and I'm assuming beyond that, I groups as a safe place to share your deepest feelings.
Unquestionably, ones that I wasn't willing to acknowledge to myself. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't hold them by myself. And when I had a circle of men, I had a container, I had the power of really masculine love to buttress my own internal resources. Those things got to come out, they got to be seen, they got to live and breathe. And really through the kind of conclusion, purification or renewal ceremony, was a physical release of the grief. And it turned my grief, which was eating me, into a sadness that felt right and that I still have with me and can hold in a gentle and tender way that's allowed me to go on and thrive and allowed me to be the father and the husband that I've been these last 12 years.
Yeah, I clearly want to hear more about that. And we'll get there in a bit. This other piece that you're alluding to, and you said, I think I don't remember the exact way you said it, but you took these ugly feelings or uncomfortable feelings and took them from being wrong to being okay. Is that kind of what you said? And you just said it, you kind of talked about it, where you took the grief and then it became sadness, and then you began to be able to hold that sadness.
Yeah.
That's complex, at least for me. You know, that's the place that I've gotten to in many ways, but still sometimes it's uncomfortable to allow myself that. How did that happen for you to get there?
One, it got modeled for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd never seen a large group of men go so deep and be so vulnerable. And the power of the disowned parts of ourselves, of reckoning with them and finding ways to embrace them, was just, for as much work as I'd done, it wasn't something that I really had an awareness of. So I feel like the other men on the weekend, the men on the staff, kind of showed me the way.
Yeah.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of energy bound up in holding on to these negative things, and a lot of it is judging them as negative. And moving through that process of owning all the parts of myself and in the company of men who are doing the same.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked as a realization. It wouldn't have worked as a concept. It had to be lived and in a container of men holding each other the way that we do.
Yeah. Well, you've said that so well, you know, my experience is that for most of my life, those feelings and stories that I told myself that were bad, what I was thinking I was doing was pushing them outside of myself. And what was really happening is every time I pushed them out of myself, they grew more inside of myself.
And exactly.
Being in a group of men in particular that are sharing that, which is unusual for men in the world that I was raised in most of my life, really did open that door for me and help me see that. I'm wondering, you spoke about your wife and your daughter, and I know that your daughter just went off to college, so you're a empty nester, as it were, and I'm sure that has some emotional pieces that are showing up for you. Share with me, though, in any context around that, those two people, you talked about how you've changed, how that's changed you and made you a better father and a better husband. Can you share with me what that looks like? And, you know, even in particularly like right now, and I think if you share the way I do, is that it's ongoing. This, you know, this becoming comfortable and able to live with our feelings. I didn't get at the end of the weekend or the fourth I group. It was more open and like, oh my God, than it was finished, and it continues to go on for me. So in that context, share with me a few things.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that comes up for me over this long trajectory is just the incredible value of a weekly I group. Mm-hmm. And really, I think I use that more effectively over a long period of time as a reset button than anything else. Sure, a handful of cathartic pieces of work over the years that I think were important or impactful, but honestly, I use that container as a place to hold my stuff. Mm-hmm. So that my marriage or my parenting weren't required. This idea of a soulmate who completes one and is the, and that relationship is the container for the entirety of both people is to me utterly naive, and one that I held very closely for a long mm-hmm. time. And so for me to have a place to go deal with myself and come back clearer with who I am and what I'm about, what's been working on me, to my daughter and my wife, just invaluable over the years. Rarely ever spectacular fireworks, uh-huh. and week in and week out, invaluable. And especially in this way, you know, my daughter is brilliant and gorgeous and talented and accomplished, and I'm utterly thrilled to be her dad. I mean, the real challenging part of this transition is not that I'm unhappy about what's happening now. Our nest isn't empty. There are still two middle-aged people who love each other and an old dog. Yeah. There's still a lot of joy and a lot here, but it's the ending of that part of my life, the 18-year project of being kind of the lead parent and homemaker in our family. I just love being her dad.
Yeah.
And all the ways that she drives me crazy are the ways that I drive me crazy, like 100%. And if I didn't have a place where I was holding up a mirror, like as a matter of course, week in and week out, I think back on the parenting that I did that I liked the least, and it was me annoyed about myself seeing it reflected in my daughter and not being particularly clear or contained. The times where I was heavier handed or less patient or less creative in dealing with something that wasn't working for me. The times when my integrity's been highest, I've been most collaborative and effective as a dad. You know, there was an old dynamic in my marriage with my wife where she wanted to feel the more immediacy of my love. Her own stuff playing into that, dancing with my stuff and back and forth. And I don't have any seminal learning or insight, but that's really not a dynamic with us anymore. An old piece that is not active.
Wow. And so give me a couple of ways that you think you're a different husband from your experience and a different father than you would have been, maybe.
So we've been married for 20 years this summer. I am delighted to say that, like, we're doing awesome. And I will say, I don't know. Ask your question again. I lost the thread there.
I think what I'm, and I'm not, this is not an ad for MKP, NWTA, I groups. It's really about you. And it's my judgment that all of us have the experience that we have with whatever piece we take, with whether it's just the NWTA or whether it's all of the different pieces in leadership and the I groups or whatever it is. But you spoke to it a minute ago about the mirror. What happened for me was that, for me, the MWT was like this huge mirror that showed up that said, oops, I'm divorcing myself from the victim I have enjoyed being for whatever number of years it was. And I'm sick. So it's you that I'm, you know, it's,
yeah,
something inside of you. Okay, there's something inside of you that's different, that shows itself outwardly from the work you've done.
Absolutely. I like the ability to be still and present and listening when she's unhappy with me. It oftentimes she's right. I agree with her. Sometimes I don't. But regardless, prior to this training, over the long haul, this was not a wand that got waved at any one weekend or in any one piece of work. Coupled with that mirror, I learned how to sit still and be present and listen in the face. And my wife is a powerful woman. You know, that is not a half measure to be able to accomplish that. And it's had us stay in conflict for shorter periods of time. The degree to which I would want to be defensive and justify myself and go to a victim place and how unfair, and like, you know, it's all shades and degrees, but.
I still resonate with this story.
that's a piece that where I've unquestionably grown.
So what you're saying, I'm going to tease you a little bit, but
yeah,
what you're saying is that you're able to sit with her when she's upset with you, and it's a shorter time before you can listen and be not defensive than it used to be.
Yes, yeah, and quieter.
Certainly
the defensiveness and the justification might be churning in my mind, Even then, I see it happening. It's not happening to me. It's another part of me that I'm aware of and that I'm holding. And it doesn't have to come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the observer is helping you, you know, bite your lip till it bleeds some days. But so I want to ask you this question on this piece. Is that about you growing more comfortable with yourself, that you can sit in that kind of... what do I want to say? When you might feel you're being attacked, or when your wife is bringing something, or your daughter is bringing something to you that's the truth that you clearly do not want to see.
Yeah.
Is it the fact that you've grown more into yourself? Can it accept those parts?
I feel like just the percentage of time spent in acceptance. And I think one of the things that's been most powerful for learning that is watching other men do it, facilitating work for other men, being in I group where men are doing work on, you know, staff and weekends. And it's the other dimension of that mirror. Like, I see what I want this man to get. I want him to be okay with all parts of himself. Like what's available to him if he, like, if I'm excited about that as a facilitator or somebody, you know, staffing a weekend, I have learned and been taught really effectively, like, ooh, there's got to be something really important for me in that. That can be a hook as a facilitator, but it's almost always a great beacon for me. And so I've just had to see it like as something useful and valuable. And another reason why I feel like the concepts that we work with are reasonably simple and basic, but can only really work and live when we do them together.
No question. This reminds me of the part that really kind of blew my mind early on, was that, you know, when we're in circle and somebody's doing their work, at the end everybody raises their hand because you know, you're doing my work is the term we say, you know, you're doing my work. I think that's so beautiful. I think that's, and that's again, the mirror piece. And I guess it would be fun to be able to transcend that whole concept to when my wife is coming after me that's partially I own and partially I don't own. And depending on how willing I am to own, it's a bigger or lesser piece. But if I could just hold that she's just experiencing something that I always experience as well. And she's just expressing it outwardly. That would be an interesting thing to figure out how to use those. I don't know. So it's sometimes so hard for me to get out of my own way, especially if I'm not taking care of myself, you know, especially if I'm tired or I've been doing too much and not taking care of myself, not meditating or whatever else I do to calm myself. Just amazing.
Doing an interview like this is really challenging for part of me. It's the cynical part of me that feels like that I haven't changed, that I haven't grown, that, you know, all of this was a matter of course and there's nothing wonderful to see here, just move along and stay resigned. And is expert at grabbing evidence. I mean, the ways that I struggle with, continue to struggle with just choosing to be productive on things I'm committed to over distracting and diverting myself is discouraging.
Yeah, boy.
It's discouraging. And and that cynical part of me really will just amplify and run with that hard. And that comes up in thinking about my wife, because occasionally she'll come home like, what did you do today? I'm like, I scramble around for the last half hour to pick some stuff up so it doesn't look like a hell over here.
Yeah,
hopefully so you wouldn't ask me that. You know, like,
yeah.
Some compassion and that way to hold compassion and to maintain an edge and endeavor.
It's a big task, Josh. It's a huge task to stand up at some point in your life. And many people don't, but to stand up at some point and say, I want to be different. This, you know, you hit a wall and you had a huge emptiness in yourself that you understood needed to be worked with. Others, I had mine wasn't quite as big as yours. Oh, as big as yours for me. In my situation, but an awful lot of men I've spoken to just went to the weekend and were curious and found a lot of the same things that you're talking about. So it's, however we get there, there's a piece inside of ourselves that wants to grow up and wants to not have these feelings. And then there's the other piece that you were just talking about that says, I'm not letting go. I've been controlling you for 55 years, dude. I'm not, you know, that would be my kid. I'm not letting go. And they still have a voice. You know, that's what makes it harder, I think, or I don't know, maybe it doesn't make it harder. It's just, that's where you get cynical and discouraged, I think. That's where I am. Yeah.
You know, and just to know my shadow mission, you know, the machine inside of me that turns opportunities into burdens and what that's protecting. And, you know, there have been, I don't know, I feel like I've been kind of talking down the actual importance of just doing work, you know, magician around work. And, you know, I have learned and integrated a lot of healing around, you know, family of origin stuff. My parents were not happy with each other. They weren't fighting. I was an only child. We lived out in the country. I was very sensitive and I felt like I could not be a problem because this unstable atom of our nuclear family was wobbly. And if I was a problem, it was going to fall apart. And that didn't mean I didn't want to have fun and do my thing and get my way. Like, but the ways that I have learned, like, oh, I can be a problem and people will not leave and the world will not end. And I think that has been a really important piece, for example, with my wife, but not just my wife. People, you know, this will be shocking to you, Paul. People all over my life get unhappy with me for various reasons at various times.
I got to talk to them. They're not seeing the part I'm seeing. Yeah, well, with the piece you just said there that has been so important to me to grow into and continue to grow into is that I actually get to be myself.
Right.
And I know when I'm not being the part of myself I want to be and own it.
Yep.
And you know, that's the thing that I've learned in my own relationship and in some of the leadership I've done along the way is the more vulnerable, the more real I can be and vulnerable about the realness I am, the closer I get the more they want to be with me than not be with me. And I, mm-hmm. you know, the story that we tell ourselves, well, if I share what I really feel, and they're going to run away, man. Who would want to be around here? I don't want to be around here.
I don't want to be around me. Why would anybody else
be?
But it's interesting. You know, I had a new, I've certainly learned a new idea about vulnerability. I remember being in a fight very early in our relationship, and I decided to be vulnerable. And what that manifested as was being sharing myself as a helpless victim.
Yeah.
And that was a different move, I guess. But I see all the ways now that that was just another way of defending all the stuff I was hanging on to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And knowing what I'm hanging on to and being willing, and loads of credit to my wife in our relationship and what we've done at critical junctures. I feel like we have both been really generous mm-hmm. With each other. There, we're both pretty smart people and mm-hmm. pretty strong personalities. And, my daughter intends to be a doctor at this point in her life. If she wanted to be a lawyer, she would have had a deep, deep training in smart people disagreeing. But when it's really mattered, being able to give up that piece that I'm hanging on to, my high ground, my defensible last stand, position of strength, time and again, when it's really mattered. And two people have to do that. I've watched brothers in tough relationships bring it, and if it's not a two-way street, it can't work. So
I don't know,
it's super important to me to say that my kid's brilliant, because she's brilliant. I've been a wonderful mm-hmm. dad, and she's had a great mom, and we've provided her a lot of opportunities, but she's just brilliant. And certainly I'm thrilled about my marriage and our partnership and who I've gotten to be, and being able to support her and what she's doing. But I feel like, boy, when we're doing our best, I think we can create a space for the best in the people that we're around and with, mm-hmm. and certainly the ones we hold closest to our hearts.
And that's what I see in you. So I want to share a few things before we close. I'm not really think I've ever seen you as a person who is doubtful, a skeptic of yourself. I've seen you, not wanting to get caught in situations that, you know, that you don't want to be in. But here's what I see: a really loving, strong man who just steps up all the time. The work that we've done when I was in the iGroup Council as the lead in there, and you and I did a couple of face-to-faces, and you just jumped right in, and it was just so magical to work with your spirit, and you just brought everybody into the room. You're contagious and inspiring, and it's just such a blessing to me to have you in my life, and I've watched you recently, you know, do your work around what's next for me, either in the project or not in the project. Your dedication to Chicago and the difference it's made in Chicago is huge. And I don't even think you have an idea of the number of people you've influenced and changed as a result of the spirit that you are inside of your heart. And that's been my experience. No question about how you've worked in the organization. And whatever decisions you make on any place, they will be from the right place of yourself. And so much gratitude for you, given of yourself in the world, however you've done that. I know that you haven't just, this is not just an MKP ad. I know that your daughter is who she is because of the love and the authenticity and vulnerability that you shared and gave her. And she has that now as a part of herself. And your wife being willing to go toe to toe. She loves you. She's not going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. And why would they? You're just an amazing man. So thanks for, you know, visiting with me and us, and thanks for being who you are. And I just look forward to, you know, many years of working together in some form or another. I don't want to not be in your presence. So thanks.
It's going to be hard for me to let you have the last word, man. That's a tough one. Thank you. And I do want to share a gratitude, not just with you, Paul, because I, you know, we need another podcast for me to go off on acknowledging you. And I know this is a conversation you're leading, so I'm not going to do that. But just for you to know how much I admire and have felt loved and supported and delighted in working with you all the way through. And to anybody that this ever makes it to their ears, that I know, that's been on the path with me, men that we'll meet yet, thank you for holding a space where the best parts of me are welcomed and required and challenged and amplified. I mean, those face-to-face meetings that you talked about are some of my most treasured experiences, because the best parts of me got lit up by a collective fire, and I got to know that I was contributing to something that people really loved and valued. And as my dad would say, people love nothing more than making a contribution. And
it really is a stage of life where it's really time to give back, and you know, the legacy of who, what we've been given to give. I agree with your father. I agree with your father. I want to share one special moment, and I don't even know if you remember, but it was the first face-to-face when I was the first year as chair of the iGroup Council. And you and I were standing up together, and somehow it got, I said something about, okay, I want you guys all to know that you're enough. And I want to say that to you right now, you're enough. But do you remember how you let a cheer right out of that? And we're all standing up and yelling, I'm enough, I'm enough, I'm enough. That's the spirit. You just picked that up. And, you know, not feeling like we're enough. So many of us have that as a core part of our situations. So you can have the last word, but blessing to you.
Blessing to you. We're enough.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, brother.
Oh.